Welcome to They That Hope with Father Dave and Bob, seeing humor and hope in a crazy world. I'm Bob.
Howdy, I'm Father Dave.
Howdy?
I don't know why I said that.
You're going back to your Durango roots.
I didn't even say that in Durango. I don't know why I said that. That sounds so funny. Anyway, hey, everybody. How are we doing this morning?
It is great to have you here with us. We're just so excited that you are listening into our second podcast.
And they said it couldn't be done.
They said it couldn't be done. Well, to be honest, we're just releasing the first podcast. So here we go with the second.
Amen. That's great.
And it is great. I had a great weekend. Well, sports are back.
Yes.
And that is so amazing.
It's mixed, actually.
Why is it mixed?
Because my Broncos lost.
Oh, to my Buccaneers.
I was going to go there. And there was no, the Notre Dame football team didn't play this week because of COVID.
So, dun,
we should have a sound effect.
Oh, yeah, we should.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
work
a,
on that.
That's a level of technology I'm not used to.
We're not
to.
There.
Yeah.
No, it was a great weekend.
But it's fun just to have all the sports happening. I mean, I feel like I was going from watching competitive cornhole on ESPN to now everything.
Yeah.
I mean, Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, but my second team is Tampa Bay Lightning. My family's okay. from Tampa, those of you listening, so that's why I have a lot of Tampa affiliation. So I love the Lightning. They almost clinched it this weekend. They're going into game six.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and if they win, they do it. I'm a huge Cleveland Cavaliers fan, which means I'm always connected in some way to LeBron James. And the Lakers won the Western Conference, so they're going to the finals. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are finally a team to be proud of. I wear my outfit. I always did anyway, but now people are like, hey, those Buccaneers, they're doing pretty good, you know? And so all those things, it just feels like a bit of going back to normal.
Yeah, 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 that's totally true.
Actually, one of the best things that happened this weekend is I went to the movies.
And those of you who don't know Bob very well, going to the movies is, I remember the first time I went to a movie with Bob and afterwards, you know, I said, oh yeah, that was good. And then he went on for about 45 minutes.
Was that
on,
all?
Yeah, yeah, on why it wasn't good and what was good. And did you pick up this and this camera angle and this, how it bleeded into, it's like, wow, I just kind of went to a movie, but it's a whole different experience. So a joke now actually is whenever I go to a movie, I don't even text him. I say, you know, I like this movie. I just text Bob and I said, did I like this movie? And he explains to me why I liked it or why I didn't like it. So that's wonderful, Bob. What did you see?
Yeah, I was a theater major in college. And so I love plays. I love movies. I love the art of cinema.
Creation,
so I saw Tenet.
Yeah.
The Christopher Nolan film, you know, Christopher
See, no,
Nolan.
Just the, there you go, right there.
Come on, I just named the director. That's it. That's a low hanging fruit in my world. He directed,
you're going to go down a hole.
He directed Batman Begins.
Okay, I've seen that.
Yeah, I figured. I'm just going, I didn't mention Memento. I just thought I'd go with the,
you saw
Memento.
Yeah, that was a
Did
weird
you see
movie.
Dunkirk?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, the same director.
Okay, okay.
So he's really amazing with his, he loves doing weird narrative time things. And it was very cool. I mean, to be honest, I think I was just so excited to be at a movie theater.
How did they do it? Like, you could only buy one ticket,
so,
seats between everybody. How
right,
did that work?
Right, right, right. So, well, this is the theater in Robinson, outside of Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. that, you know, they just upgraded to nice seats everywhere. And so even before COVID happened, you had to reserve seats, so it wasn't open seating. So now what they do is when you reserve seats, you can reserve as many together as you want if you're in a group, but then they block out two other seats on either side
on
of you.
On each side.
So if you're at the aisle, obviously that doesn't happen. But yeah, so they make it clear like no one's, and those seats are big. So no one's going to be near you is kind of the attitude.
What about in front of you or behind you?
Yeah, well, those are, again, in that theater, the rows are so steep. Okay. You have like a little barrier. It's actually pretty
good. I flew recently and it was interesting because one of the flights, they kept the middle seat open, which, okay, fine, whatever. But they didn't be in front of you or behind you. So it's like COVID only goes to the side. It doesn't go back in front, quite the
It's
experience.
Like whatever that chess move thing is. It only goes side to side and not front. I don't play chess.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Well, then why don't you help me?
The knight, isn't it?
Do you play chess?
No.
maybe we should move on to another topic. But it was just great to, I went with my son. It was just great to be in the movies, be in a movie theater. Yeah, at least around here, things are starting to pop back. My kids are all in sports, and that's a lot of fun. The weather's beautiful. This is one of my favorite times of year. You know, the leaves are changing. It's like 60s and 70s. Right? It's gorgeous.
It was really beautiful on campus on Saturday afternoon when all the students were out and they were having their household events and their Lord's Day. And yeah, it was just wonderful on campus to see students all over the place in their groups. And like you said, the campus is gorgeous. The colors are beginning to change. That's one of the things my mom and dad live in, two brothers and sister live in Arizona, which is nice in February. But to see the colors and the changing of the seasons, it's just a wonderful, wonderful time. Yeah. Season of hope, right?
Yeah. Right. Season of hope. That's great. Absolutely. Amen.
That's great.
Cool.
And anything else? Your kids are in school, right? They're in class. They went back to school, not online and that kind of thing.
Right. Thankfully. Yeah. I mean, they go to a small, you know, they go to Catholic Central, so a small Catholic school. So even when the, even early on when they said you can't have more than 250 people together, well, the school isn't more than 250 people. So they've been doing really well. And yeah, my son, Joey, who's in seventh grade, is now in, is playing football because he really wanted to. And it scares the crud out of me. Oh my gosh. And every game, somebody gets horribly injured. I just keep thinking, what madness is this? You know, like, it's just like, why don't you just keep an ambulance by the side of the field? And what's funny is everybody else just thinks that's pretty normal. Like, oh, okay, somebody else is down, but they keep playing. You know, the ambulance is driving along the sideline. Yeah, it really is. I guess that's weird because I like football so much I like other people playing football, but my kids playing football, I'm just like, And he's like, I think I like soccer better. I'm like, I think this, I like soccer better too. Like, just keep playing soccer.
Now, this is really local, but Catholic Central played their homecoming. Did they win or lose?
They lost to Madonna.
So and Madonna crushed Central.
It did. And it's really hard as Catholics to find like negative cheers against a school called Madonna. You're always a little bit sensitive to, we mean the people in the school, not of course the Blessed Mother, who we also revere. Yeah, the cheers get really, you know.
Yeah, that's
the footnote for the cheer is really long.
That's cool.
But things are good.
Good. No, pretty quiet weekend actually. I'd been away. It was actually a blessing to be able to spend some time with my mom and dad, who I had not seen in almost 10 or 11 months. So to be able to see them was a great blessing. Spent a few days just catching up with them. And then it was a quiet weekend just to chill out a little bit with the students, catch up on just spending time on campus with the friars. So it was it's been a great couple of days.
Did you get to see the Two Gentlemen of Verona outdoor play?
I did. Yeah.
I hear they made a Bob Rice reference.
Yeah, I don't know. I only saw it the first night, and I wasn't there for the entire thing.
Wait, how'd you go to play and you're not
there? Well, it was outdoors.
It was outdoors.
So I just took a seat for a while and
just saw some of a Shakespeare play and then.
Right.
It's like channel surfing.
I left as one of
Did you get a lot out of it? Did you follow the storyline?
Well, I had a hard time following it, honestly, because one of the friars was sitting in front of me, maybe 50 feet in front of me, in a nice little chair. We got everybody on campus, which was a really great idea. I don't know who had it, but it was a really great idea. These lawn chairs, things you take to football games and that kind of thing.
They're called lawn chairs.
No, I don't think they are. They're called tailgate chairs, I think. And I was just looking for that word, but that's what it is. But anyway, so he fell out of it. So I was trying not to laugh, and he's trying to film as he's falling out of his chair. And I kind of lost attention.
Yeah.
I was compassionate, making sure he was okay, as you would your son.
Quietly praying.
Right.
It's a very similar thing. Me watching my son play football.
Take him out on a stretcher.
You watching your fellow friars try to sit in a tailgate chair on a hill. I thought it was very creative to do.
Actually, it was fantastic. It really was.
The show?
Yeah.
Yeah, to do the show. I mean, that was great. You know, like, hey, they're not going to be limited by stuff. We can do a show outdoors.
So it was great.
That's one of the things
I've been so impressed with. With campus is they've just been really creative given the limitations that we've had. They've been really creative in doing things, and that was a great example of it. On the side of the hill, it was a lot of fun.
And praise God, we don't have any active cases on campus.
No, thank
right?
you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Madonna, pray for us.
Amen. Though not the school.
No, right.
We want them to lose.
Well, they could too.
Yeah, they could, but they already are. Anyway, well, speaking of Franciscan, we always have a brief Franciscan University plug. Obviously, this podcast is brought to you by Franciscan University. And I don't know if you knew this, Father Dave, but each semester, nearly 200 students, except for this semester, embark on Franciscan University's Austrian adventure.
It's Austrian, not Star Wars.
That was actually Indiana Jones.
They study, See, this is my point.
I know, exactly. They study, it's all John Williams. They study, that's a musician, by the way.
As if I didn't know.
Yeah, well, you probably didn't. They study and live in a restored 14th century Carthusian monastery. I think I added an extra syllable there. In the foothills of the Austrian Alps.
You're lucky.
From there, they explore the richness of the Catholic faith throughout Europe, find out more about Franciscan's Austrian adventure at austria.franciscan.edu. And you spent a couple years over in Austria.
3 years, sir. Yeah, it was really, it was one of the best. Just, it's a beautiful little village. Austria is gorgeous. Culture. Yeah. One of the cool things is you can talk about, let's say, architecture. You can talk about Gothic or Baroque architecture. You can look at a book, or you can be in Vienna and walk into one of the most beautiful Gothic cathedrals in St. Stephen's that's just stunning. And then go a block away to a really beautiful little Baroque church called St. Peter's that's been there for 1,600 years. I think they've had mass in this site. Church has gone through changes, but at this site for 1,600 years. It's just, wow. It's just stunning, yeah. So it's one of the great blessings and gems of Franciscan University.
Are you suggesting that you can't see good Gothic and Baroque architecture in Steubenville, Ohio?
Well, sometimes you may have to go across the river to Weirton.
Right, but, sure. Yeah, they're very Baroque.
Yes.
Yeah, financially. Thank you. I'm a dad, if you couldn't tell. austria.franciscan.edu. You know, another really hopeful thing that happened this weekend was the nomination of Amy...
Coney Barrett.
Coney Barrett.
Yep.
Yeah, which is so exciting. Here we have a Catholic, a charismatic, it seems.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, person who could end up... being on the Supreme Court. I mean, I've only seen the soundbite headlines. You're more of a political guy.
I started actually first following the judge when she was going through the hearings, the Senate hearings to become a federal judge. And it was just this really pretty amazing scene when they're talking about, and she's talking about her faith. And one of the questions is, I can't remember, is, are you a faithful Catholic or are you an Orthodox Catholic? I can't remember. It was Senator Dianne Feinstein, I think from California, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And right. So.
They're all from California.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so it's interesting. She was just talking, and the senator says, I fear the dogma lives strong in you. And this become kind of a rallying cry for people of faith, not just Catholics.
Yeah, sounds like a Star Wars phrase.
In you, the dogma is strong.
Here, yeah, exactly. Okay. I was going to say that.
Indiana Jones.
exactly. No, I love Chewbacca. He's a great character.
He's actually my favorite.
Yeah.
But let's not go there for now.
But we'll leave that when we have nothing else to talk about for a week. So that became really a rallying cry, not just for Catholics, but this idea that because a person has faith or deeply held convictions, not wishy-washy, not... you know, personally opposed, but, you know, any of that. So as if this would be a litmus test that would be used against her. It's really exciting. It's exciting for so many reasons. It's interesting. Obviously, she would take the seat of Ginsburg. But even in that, in many ways, obviously there would be opposed. She clerked for Scalia. At the Supreme Court. So in many ways, the way they read the Constitution between Barrett and Ginsburg would be quite different. But in many ways, she is, because of some of the work that Ginsburg did, I mean, she is a mother of, I believe, 7 kids. Mm. She has a full-time job, and she's a mother for kids. She says in her acceptance speech that she's good at carpools. She's good at planning birthday parties. And so this is this woman who is unbelievably competent. A phenomenal, by all accounts, a phenomenal teacher at University of Notre Dame, where she teaches.
They loved her there.
In the law school. There was this really great, great story that was told of her. I should be careful because I may butcher it. But I believe that one of her students had maybe a hearing or a sight impairment. And she came to the judge and said, you know, I've got this problem. and shared what the problem was. And Amy Barrett said, no, this isn't your problem anymore. It's my problem now. Mm. And I'll take care of this and I'll work it out. And it worked out this that the student went on and got a graduate, got her law degree and passed the bar. And so just some really, everything you hear, whether or not you agree
fantastic.
With her politically, right? Everything you hear about this. But just the image of her with her seven kids, two, or you probably relate to this, two were adopted from Haiti. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They have their two kids, two of their kids are adopted from Haiti.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
Maybe you should mention that you have an adopted
son. I have an adopted son from Haiti. Well, then I think I should hang out with the Barrett family and we should have a barbecue.
That's a good idea.
I bet she roots for the Buccaneers.
I bet she does too.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
No, but it's just a beautiful, it's a beautiful image with her and her family. It's also going to be, it's going to be really, really difficult. I can't imagine being in her position and what she and her family is going to have to go through the hearings and through the confirmation process. And that's honestly, Bob, one of the things that just causes me to be anxious about politics and stuff now is that why would somebody allow themselves to go through that or put themselves through? So it's a tremendously heroic person that's willing to go through that for service, literally for service of the country. And so we continue to pray for her.
Now, from what I hear, it's going to happen. They're just, it might be a difficult road, but it's pretty much a lock or?
Well, yeah, because the Republicans have got the votes. So unless there's.
And it's just a Senate thing, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's exciting.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. Those little moments. I mean, obviously, there's a lot to be concerned about with politics and the country, but that was a little bit of a shining light in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just love the image. I don't know if you saw the announcement at the White House, but she and her family, it was just really, actually really, really beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So in the light of that, by the time people are listening to this, I think we're going to release on Wednesday mornings. Is that
right?
What we decided?
We're focusing on having a weekly podcast generally released on Wednesday. So Tuesday night will be...
Last night.
See, this is almost like Tenet. It's like a time bending.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, right. But it's going
to. But it did happen and now it's coming back.
We could just act like we are talking about the presidential debate as if we saw it.
Why don't we just do that?
All right, let's do it.
So
that was a train wreck.
Whoa, I can't believe that happened.
Good grief.
Did Biden have a stroke in the middle of it?
Did he put together an entire sentence?
Can you believe Trump said that?
Yeah, I thought he was going to go and literally hit him. When he was standing there.
His face got red.
Unbelievable.
Do you remember that time that Chris Wallace just clearly had no idea what to say next?
Yeah, that was great.
That was so funny.
The debates are must-see TV. President Trump was actually saying that he thinks that there should be drug testing before, so that Biden should have to take a drug test before the debate.
They're just going to jack him up with whatever.
But here's the other thing that's really interesting for those who are interested in such things. So the first debate is on the Feast of the Archangels, right?
Oh, wow. Okay.
The second debate is on the Feast of St. Teresa. And the third debate is on the Feast of St. John Paul II. So those who pay attention to these things see that there's a sign there. Bob, what would you say the sign is in that?
That God's in charge and that we can have hope. I'm just going to default to that anytime you ask. Hope.
There you go. That's
the
right
answer is hope.
That's right.
It's like in CCD, every answer was Jesus.
Amen.
In this one, it's hope.
Amen.
And our hope is in Jesus.
You know, it's really true, though. I was listening to, actually, one of the things I listened to this weekend was a conversation about people of faith and the election and how we go about that. And one of the things is that was really good about it was that while the government has a role, there's almost this expectation that we place on the government or anyone else that says, okay, you need to fix everything.
Right.
And as if an individual or a particular party would be able to fix everything. And that's where we go back to that our hope is not who wins the election. You know, we can have a desire. We can pray. We can see that one candidate is clearly, I think, better than another in any given election.
Right.
But our hope is ultimately in the Lord. Right.
Right.
If it's in the Supreme Court or in the White House or whoever, it's going to be, we're always going to be frustrated.
And obviously there's really, particularly news media has essentially turned into entertainment.
Yeah.
And in some ways, we're just voting for the star of our next reality TV show that we call The White House. Yeah, yeah. And I think of it in soccer, you know, in soccer, they talk about the silly season. And the silly season is between...
Our lives are so different.
Yes, I know. But the silly season is when, like, between the game stop and the season starting. And then there's just all this talk. And there's no actual information. It's just who might go here or who might go where. And so many times I listen to the news, I'm like, this is just like the silly season.
No,
like,
honestly...
Nobody has new information. There's one piece of information that comes out.
And that's why I've said for the last, I don't know, longer than that, quit watching 24-hour news. I mean, people, I've asked somebody, you know, is what you're watching constantly doing something good for your heart? I just tell, turn off the volume, turn off the television, do anything else. I just don't think ultimately it's good for our heart.
You know, you'll hear, I've been doing that too. And you end up hearing about the important stuff.
Absolutely.
You just miss the nonsense of one person says this and one person says this and one person, and what if that happens? And what if this happens?
And the very point of the media right now is to draw people to sides and you're being pulled to one direction or the other. And the other is that we're being made aware of things that we, for all practical purposes, most of the time can't do anything about.
Right.
And that causes us a frustration and anxiety, and we just need to be able to turn it off. I told the Friars, I said, if anything that happens in the world that I absolutely need to see, let me know. And it's just crazy. One of the things that just made me laugh, when at the last election in 2016, I was in Croatia about a week before the election. And I was just talking to our guide at the time. And, you know, so, you know, what do you think of our election? You know, Trump, and it was Trump and Clinton at the time. And she started laughing and she said, you Americans are so funny. I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, you're like, you woke up one morning and you realized that there was no Santa Claus. She said, we never have a good election. We never have a good choice. So you guys are so ridiculous. So anyway.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Well, one of the things we want to do in this podcast, you know, we had a little bit of an ad for Franciscan earlier on, but we decided that we wanted to also have ads for friends.
Yeah.
These are unpaid advertisements.
Just announcements.
Just announcements. Yeah, alumni, friends, people doing great stuff. And we wanted to, our first call out is going to be to a wonderful podcast called Abiding Together.
Start over.
Okay. Well, no, it's all right.
Okay.
It's okay. And one of the first call outs that we want to have is Abiding Together. No, is that not what it's called?
Yes, that's what it's called.
Well, why are you looking at me that way?
I'm just happy to see you.
That's good to see you too. So anyway, Abiding Together is this great podcast with some friends of ours, Michelle Benzinger.
Alumni.
Sister Miriam Heidlin.
Not an alumni, but wants to be.
Everybody does. And Heather Kim with alumni. A Y.
Right.
Yeah. We have two alumni and one wannabe.
Yeah.
And it's a podcast for women.
Yeah.
Have you listened to it?
I have listened to it.
You're not supposed to listen to it.
Well, I've listened to it a couple of times. Actually, I guess it's for women, but it's really good. And I know my mother listens to it every Monday morning.
Who is
really
a woman?
Good. She is. Yeah, but they do. I mean, they're just really, they're women of faith. I've been blessed to be on it a couple of times. And these are three women who love the Lord. And in many ways, while they're not together, they often have to do it remotely. They're women who have been walking in relationship with the Lord, in relationship with one another for quite a while, and it's just a great inspiration. So it's a pleasure to be able.
All right, I'm going to use my radio voice to promote them.
Okay, good.
Are you a woman, or do you know someone who is? If so, you are not alone. Listen to Abiding Together, where women talk about women, things, hair. I don't know.
No, they don't. That's so bad.
Well, you're just upset because you don't have hair.
That's part of it.
Anyway, it's a great podcast. And they helped us out with some good advice.
They totally did.
Which I think was probably, what advice did they give you? Don't do it with me.
They said, are you sure you want to do this? No, they were really, actually really wonderful. And just, first off, very encouraging of it, but then also just practical advice. So it's great. So go listen to their podcast.
Yeah, wherever good podcasts are found, you can find Abiding Together.
Amen. So there are third part. So I think what we're talking is that each podcast, we're going to basically have three parts, right?
Yeah, sure.
Seasons of hope, reasons for hope in our own life, in our own personal lives, kind of what's going on in the culture, mm-hmm. and then what's going on in the church. And this is a really big week.
I love this week.
Yeah.
Actually, I have two favorite weeks in ordinary time.
Okay.
One of them is at the end of January. There's a string of week. There's a string of feast days. It's the Thomas Aquinas, mm-hmm. conversion of Paul, mm-hmm. Timothy and Titus, John Bosco. My birthday's in there too, so that's mm-hmm. that's like a great knockout week. And then this week is another one of just feast after feast after feast after feast.
Yeah. So Tuesday is the archangels,
right?
Thursday, guardian angels.
Yep.
Friday.
No, I think Thursday is Therese, and then Friday is Guardian Angels.
Guardian Angels, and then Sunday,
right,
is
Francis.
Yes, the Feast of Francis.
Francesco de Assisi.
Yeah. So there's just and really, like you said, that this is just jam packed. So it's really a great time to be able to celebrate. That's one of the things I love about. There's so many things I love about being Catholic, we need to talk about this again in the future.
Ooh.
But just the cycle of the church, the calendar of the church, and how it's so human. It meets us in our human experience, and there's times to fast, and there's times to feast, and there's times to reflect, and there's time to. It's really a great blessing of the church.
A time to live, a time to die.
Yep, exactly.
Song's already written.
Thanks. That's good. Which is your favorite of all the feasts coming up this week?
You know, I have a personal affinity to the archangels.
Okay.
Because that actually was the, when I started youth ministry in a parish in upstate New York, St. Ambrose Catholic Church in Latham, New York, that was our first life teen liturgy.
Okay, cool.
And it was just, every day that happens, I go, I remember this is the day we started this ministry in that church. So there's kind of a beautiful connection to that. My oldest daughter, her middle name is Therese, so the Feast of Therese of Lisieux is pretty awesome. But you're not the only one who loves St. Francis. I have a great affinity for St. Francis, and that's just always a beautiful, beautiful feast day. So it's hard to pick, but I almost feel like it just keeps getting better and better. Great.
Do you have against guardian angels?
I like the guardian angels. I just don't like motorcycles.
Good point.
And I just think it's weird that we named a feast after a biker gang.
That's not wrong. You know, it's interesting. I guess it was last year I had the opportunity of, by the grace of God, been able to a couple of times go to Lisieux. And
I think it's Lisieux.
I think you're right, with a croissant in your hand.
That's right. And a cigarette in the other.
It's just beautiful. And one of the great graces and blessings of pilgrimage is to be able to just connect with the individual and learn more of their story and what motivated them. And Therese, one of the quotes I was just actually, because I knew we were going to talk about this morning, was reflecting on her relationship with the Blessed Mother. And she was talking about, she spoke of our Blessed Mother being more of a mother than a queen. And she's just talking about the intimacy that one has, that we first hear about Mary as mother, right? That you are going to be the mother of Jesus and that she's our mother. And I love that image. And that I'm generally a fan of things that are just bring us into a more personal relationship, more intimate, more. So I've reflected on that so many times over the last many years that she is first and foremost her mother. My mother always says that she likes saints that speak of her mother, that it makes her more relatable to her as a mother. That sometimes some of the hagiographies, we make the saints so other than ourselves. It's hard for us to actually relate with them because it's like, I could never do that, you know? But just this really simple, humble image of our mother, I thought it was really, really beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, that is incredibly beautiful. Yeah. And I'm sure you're excited about the Feast of St. Francis.
Amen.
If for those of you that haven't had a chance to be on our campus during that time, or I guess any Franciscan place, I just always find it beautiful. Is this just kind of everywhere that, what are they, the Transitus?
Right.
So the night before?
Yeah, the Feast of Francis is... The Feast of Francis is obviously October 4th, but the friars, Franciscans always gather the night before the Transitus, the passing of Francis. And we recall Francis, his passing, and there's a beautiful story that before Francis's death, he wanted to be taken to the Porciuncula, which is just a beautiful, beautiful chapel in Assisi. It's actually beautiful. If you go to Assisi, there's this massive Our Lady of the Angels. Just, I think it's like the ninth largest church in the world. And then you enter into this church, and it's protecting the little Porciuncola church, which is just such a beautiful place and significant in the life of Francis. So it's an commemoration and honoring of passing Francis from this life to the next. So with so much going on this year, we are going to do the Transitus up at the Steel Cross, which is, if you've been on campus, it's a massive steel cross on top of the hill at the university. And just to remember Francis in the life that he has. But it's interesting. We'll talk about this maybe next week or okay. the following week, because also on that day, our Holy Father is actually going to go to Assisi, and he's going to go to the tomb of Assisi, the tomb of Francis. And he's going to sign, I believe, his third encyclical, and it's going to be called Fratelli Tutti. No, let's see, make sure I get this right. Fratelli Tutti.
Fratelli Tutti.
Yeah. Do you have an accent for everything? Don't answer that. So I'm really looking forward to this, because it's on the brotherhood of man, you know, and that we are all brothers and sisters in faith, and brothers and sisters in the human family. And he felt that it best, it's a line actually from one of the addresses of St. Francis. So,
oh, really? Yeah, that's where the title comes from.
As did his Laudato Si, came from Francis as well. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a great weekend, great opportunities to celebrate being Catholic and the lives of the saints and our guardian angels and our archangels, and it's just great.
You know, as in the context of everything else we've been saying, I mean, there certainly is always a battle going on, right? I mean, there's a battle of the world and politics and division and fear and anxiety, and then in the midst of that, the church is bringing us the archangels and the guardian angels and the little way of Therese and the holiness of Francis. And, you know, we pray all of you listening might just be blessed by the church in turbulent times. The church is always keeping her eyes on Jesus and encouraging us to do the same. And there are just so many graces. There's just so many graces all around us. I mean, I think that kind of goes back to our tagline of just seeing the humor and hope. There's a lot of hope out there, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's important. I think at times we can become somewhat feel like we're paralyzed, like we can't really do anything. So one of the things that we're doing on campus this weekend, and not just on campus, in the town of Steubenville, is there's a movement that's kind of grown in the last maybe 2 months. It's called Unite Our Nation. Mm. And it's really an exhortation for prayer. The Catholics gather together and they join together with non-Catholics and pray. And so what we're going to do at Franciscan University is we're going to have a mass in the morning, early in the morning. We're going to do a Eucharistic procession and rosary procession from the university down to the cathedral. And then at there, we're going
to... How far is that?
It's about 2.5 miles. It's going to be really beautiful. And then at the end of that, some of the our brothers and sisters in the community, in the Protestant community, in the African-American community are going to gather with us. And we're just going to spend some time just praying for division and praying against division and hatred and all the craziness that's going on. So I'm really looking forward to that. I just really have a sense that the Lord is going to bless this. And it seems to me appropriate with the Holy Father signing that document on Saturday about coming together as brothers and sisters. It's just, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, praise God. So there's wonderful things happening.
Amen.
And we pray that wonderful things are happening in your life and that you might see the work of God. Even those of you that might be in a difficult place, a struggling place, our prayers are with you. In fact, we would love to get prayer requests from you. We have an email. This is exciting. It's hope@franciscan.edu. hope@franciscan.edu. If you want to share a prayer request, if you want to share a story of hope, maybe if you want to share something fun that you would like us to talk about on the show, I mean, maybe from time to time we'll open up the mailbag and see. We'll keep the prayer requests private.
Yeah, but also if there's something they want us to talk about, if somebody's written a book or an album or
absolutely.
A conference or something like that.
As we keep promoting things, we'd love to know all of those wonderful things that are occurring, things that can give people hope. And we hope, we wish, we desire,
darn it,
We pray that this podcast gave you some humor and some hope today, and we are certainly praying for you on this wonderful week of feasts. So, Father Dave?
We just ask the Lord's blessing and His grace and His peace to be present to all of you who are listening, and that you would be blessed, your family would be blessed in this time. The hope of Jesus would continue to rule and grow in your heart. May the Lord pour His blessings upon you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.
See you, Bob.
See you, Father Dave. And thank you for listening to They That Hope with Father Dave and Bob, a podcast brought to you by Franciscan University of Steubenville.